You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
It's considered one of the single greatest six-word short stories ever written. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. This shortest of short stories and the tragedy and heartbreak conveyed by it, often attributed to Ernest Hemingway. He may or may not have written it, but somebody wrote it, and it's a classic. Now, I don't know if the 40-word short story is a thing, like the 6-word short story is a thing. The 6-word short story is a legit literary subgenre. But if the 40-word short story wasn't a thing, it's a thing now. Because the world's greatest 40-word short story was published on Craigslist last week. Under New York, Manhattan, event gigs, Be Naked at My Sister's Wedding. That's just the title. Now the body of the ad. An instant classic. My sister is having an outdoor wedding in New Canaan, Connecticut in May. I want someone to be naked in the woods and to run through the wedding in order to ruin it. I will protect you from my family. For Sale, Baby Shoes Never Worn forces the reader to think about a baby who might not have lived long enough to wear those shoes and the grief-stricken parents selling those shoes, which is where our minds go, even though there are other possible explanations for sale baby shoes never worn. Maybe the new parents were given so many pairs of baby shoes at the baby shower that their child outgrew the pair that's being sold now without ever having a chance to wear them. But when we don't have all the information, when there are blank spaces, worst-case scenarios rush in to fill the void. We are a catastrophizing species. This 40-word short story, this Craigslist ad, it forces us to think in catastrophic terms about these two siblings. What the hell happened here? What went down between this woman, this poor bride, and her brother and or sister that brought them to this point? Did the bride steal her sister's boyfriend? Did she steal her brother's boyfriend? And given all the different ways a wedding can be ruined, why a naked stranger hiding in the woods and then running through the wedding? Is the bride a gymnophobiac, that someone who's afraid of naked bodies? Or does she think streakers are Antifa? There are so many questions, so many places your brain goes when you read and reread this story, which I have been reading and rereading for days. And there are no innocent, non-catastrophic explanations for why someone would want to ruin their sister's wedding like this. And the last sentence. Oh, my God. The last sentence. Anyone tempted to take this gig is going to really think twice after reading, I will protect you from my family. It's clearly not just the bride who's going to be upset. The whole family is going to be upset, violently upset, if the person who runs naked through the wedding needs protection afterwards. And can you really trust someone who hired you to ruin their sister's wedding to actually protect you when, naked and alone, you've been cornered in a tree by a pack of angry groomsmen? And most importantly, is this a paying gig? The ad does not say. But I would like to thank the author, the anonymous author of Be Naked at My Sister's Wedding. Because whenever I started stressing out over the weekend about the pandemic or about Donald Trump's refusal to concede the election – or the violent fascists pouring into Washington, D.C. this weekend to recreate scenes right out of Weimar, Germany, I would think about that wedding and everything that must have gone wrong between that bride and her sibling. And unlike thinking about the greatest 6-word short story ever written, For Sale, Baby Shoes Never Worn, thinking about the greatest 40-word story ever written, it actually made me feel a little bit better. Or maybe it was the pot. And before we start the show, and while we're on tiny things, please cue the tiniest of tiny violins for Jared and Ivanka. Both CNN and Vanity Fair reported this week on the dilemma facing the worst couple. Where do they go after they leave the White House? I hear hell is nice this time of year. I would encourage them to think about going to hell. But they apparently want to re-enter New York society, and New York society, the people at your Met Galas, your Fashion Weeks, your Toniest schools, those people, people who used to tolerate, if not like, Jared and Ivanka, they don't want them back, according to CNN and Vanity Fair. Putting kids in cages, gaslighting the country, stoking racism and violence and white supremacism and helping daddy while he attempts to stage a coup, apparently not popular with the majority of Americans who just voted them out. and not at all popular with New Yorkers who voted against Trump and Jared and Ivanka in overwhelming numbers. And that was before Ivanka's creepy daddy threatened to withhold a COVID vaccine from residents of New York because Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, wasn't nice enough to him. That's the sort of thing Anna Wintour is probably going to take personally and then scratch your name off the invite list for the next Met Gala. I don't live in New York, but I love New York and I get to New York as often as I can, and I'm looking forward to getting back to New York after the pandemic is over. And while I don't move in the same circles Jared and Ivanka do and have no interest in moving in those circles, if those vile motherfuckers ever walk into a New York cafe or pizza place or sex dungeon I happen to be in, I am going to yell at them until they leave. And I can't imagine, knowing what I know of New Yorkers, that I'll be the only one yelling. All right, coming up on today's show, Lena Askasub-Doon joins me on the Micro and the Magnum to talk about a controversy roiling the kink community, and Dr. Daniel Westreich, a.k.a. Dr. Bummer, the Savage Lovecast's go-to epidemiologist, joins me on the Magnum to talk pandemic, everything you need to know about spikes, vaccines, and Thanksgiving. All that coming up on today's Lovecast. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Get 50% off one item and free shipping when you enter the offer code SAVAGE at checkout.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Saving while restocking your closet for fall just got a lot easier and a lot more fun with ThredUp. ThredUp is the largest online thrift store with up to 90% off your favorite brands like Nike, Zara, Madewell, and more. Get an exclusive offer of an extra 30% off your first order when you go to ThredUp.com/savage. That's ThredUp.com/savage for 30% off your first order today. Terms apply.
Hi, Dan. I have a sex success story for you. So my partner and I are in a wonderful non-monogamous relationship for the last 3 years, and he's bi, and so we really enjoy dating and playing with guys together. So we invited over a lover for the first time to have drinks with us. And my partner has a very demanding and high-stress job at a startup. His schedule is really unpredictable. He might have meetings late at night with other countries or with his team. And so we knew that there was a possibility of him having to have a work meeting during our date, but we decided to move forward with the date. And so we were having drinks with this guy. It was going really well. We had been chatting with him for a while online prior, and so really excited to meet him in person. And then the drinks transitioned to some playtime in the bedroom, and we all started having sex. But then at 9:30, my partner had to remove himself from the threesome to attend this work meeting. He said that he would be back as soon as he could. So me and this guy continued to have sex, and he was slapping my ass. And so after about 35 minutes, my partner returned to the bedroom and told us the story of first how he had to continue to mute himself between talking because you could hear the ass slapping sounds on his work meeting from the next room. And then he told us that the meeting was dragging on and on and that it wasn't going to be done for another multiple hours. And so he had to lie. The lie that he came up with was that I cut my hand on some broken glass and was bleeding everywhere, and possibly he had to take me to the emergency room and he was assessing if I needed stitches. And so, oh no, he had to emergency leave this meeting and take care of me because I was bleeding everywhere. And so he told us this when he came back to the bedroom, and we were all like rolling on the bed laughing about how he was able to kind of extract himself from this meeting and rejoin the threesome. We enjoyed the rest of our time. Our lover left, and then my partner had to rejoin the meeting after the threesome, telling his team that the bleeding stopped. Maybe I was going to need stitches, but you know, it was this really intense emergency where I cut my hand. We laugh about it now, and his team has no idea that he left the meeting to not take care of my bleeding hand, but to enjoy a really fucking sexy threesome.
Sounds like a good time was had by all. Thank you for calling in and sharing your sex success story. And here's hoping no one else on your boyfriend's team is a Savage Lovecast listener, because, yeah, that would be awkward. If you want us to start the show with your sex success story or your quarantine sexy story, give us a call, 206-302-2064, and we might open next week's Lovecast with your sexy story.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cisgender bisexual woman in my late 20s living in the Midwest. I met a man through a more serious dating app back in July, and we went on about 10 dates and have also slept together about 5 times. He had just accepted a new job offer when we met, and now that he's working there, he says that he is very overwhelmed with work to do anything else, such as working out or hanging out with me. I have not seen him in 2 months because he had to travel out of state and just got back last week. Although we texted daily while he was gone, it was not anything deep or connection-forming conversations. And it wasn't from me. I tried to engage him more to fully get to know him and see what's going on. And I told him that I don't feel a lot of enthusiasm coming from him. The last year, I've been putting a lot of work on myself, setting boundaries, and also being vulnerable. So I was okay with shooting my shot with him and being honest. But now I am starting to feel like I'm coming off as desperate. I understand his new job is more demanding than he anticipated for, and that it's a priority for him, because I've also made my career my priority. However, I still have needs, and I feel like he should be able to make time to see me, considering he lives 8 miles away. I have a very high sex drive also, and holding out for this long has also affected my mood. Like I said, I've tried communicating with him on what his intentions are, since he left just a month after we started talking. And while he says that he wants to keep talking to me, he doesn't make any efforts and he keeps blaming it on his job. I know that he really is stressed out and has all of these tasks to complete, but I should also be some sort of priority, especially if he was on a serious dating app and he was texting me on the daily. Should I just stop chasing after someone that doesn't communicate well? Or do I continue being patient while he gets used to his new job role? It was the best sex I've ever had, Dan. He is my type physically. He is from the same country. But personality-wise, he is very nerdy, very shy, very analytical. So I don't know if he's been in a relationship before.
You have needs, and he's not meeting them. You'd like him to make time for you. He's not making that time for you. I think you should stop chasing after this guy. If it's the case that he isn't meeting your needs or able to meet your needs or making time for you because the new job is so stressful, well, tell him to give you a buzz after the new job becomes less stressful or he has a different job. Tell him to reach out to you when he's got more time for you, time he doesn't have right now. And who knows? Maybe you'll hear from him at some point in the future. Maybe you won't. It's great that the sex was so great. Great that the sex was the best sex you've ever had. I hate to be the asshole who would say a thing like this, but I am the asshole who would say a thing like this. Just because it was the best sex you've ever had doesn't mean it was the best sex that other person has ever had. The sex may not have been as great for him as it was for you. But if it was as great for him as it was for you, perhaps you withdrawing a little bit, not that you should do this as a stratagem, but perhaps you pulling back a little bit will encourage him, will inspire him to reach out to you and make you feel like he is, to the extent that he can right now with the pressure that he's under, prioritizing you. If you're doing all the reaching out, if you're doing all the initiating of all of the text conversations, he may not feel any need to initiate, to make an effort that's perceptible to you because you're sustaining everything. I think you should work a little less hard at it. Then if you see some effort on his side, maybe you'll feel a little bit better about the effort that you've been putting in and you can resume putting those efforts in. But if you don't see anything from his side, he may not be as interested in you. Even if the sex was as spectacular for him as it was for you, he may not be as interested as you are. And that's what you want, isn't it? You want to be with a guy who's as crazy about you as you are about him. And if he relates to people differently than you do, or if he's neuroatypical in some way, hopefully he can articulate that to you, to your satisfaction. You say that he's a little nerdy. You say that he's a little analytical. Well, sometimes people who are nerdy and analytical don't come across, particularly via text, as passionate in the way that they might when they are with you physically, as he did when he was with you physically. And if right now he's too busy to be with you physically, okay, maybe you'll see that again from him in the future. But right now, I think you should pull way back. Right now, you might want to tag and release. Tell him that you're interested when he's not so busy in getting back together, in spending time together when he has time to invest in you emotionally and socially, not just physically and sexually. And you can pick things back up at that time, but you're not going to wait for him. You're going to see which other options are in the interim. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. AdamandEve.com is America's number one trusted source for sex toys. Their site is loaded with an amazing array of products to improve your sex life. They have toys, furniture, vibrators, bondage gear, stuff for straight folks, stuff for queer folks, stuff for everybody. No matter who you are or what you're into, AdamandEve.com has it, and you should try something new and fun today. And AdamandEve.com has an incredible deal for our listeners. They are offering almost any one item at 50% off, and you'll get free shipping discreetly right to your door. Just remember to use the offer code SAVAGE, that's S-A-V-A-G-E, at checkout. Adam and Eve has thousands of products, and they've been helping to bring orgasms to the people since 1970. Go to adamandeve.com and use that offer code SAVAGE. Let them know that Lovecast sent you for that extra 50% off almost any one item. That's adamandeve.com, offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. 25, bisexual male here. I've struggled with my sexuality my whole life. I've experimented with sex and relationships, both with guys and girls, and I've never found a place where I'm zen, if you will. I'm not a homophobic person, and sexually I prefer men. However, I cannot necessarily connect very well romantically and secure long-term relationships with them like I can with women. Currently, I'm in about a year-long relationship with my girlfriend. And our sexual and emotional chemistry together is honestly the best I've ever had. I told her about me being bisexual, and she's fine with it. But in my head, I keep feeling this need to jerk off or have sex with guys. Is this normal? Or how do I know that I'm actually bisexual and not just using it as a stepping stone or a mask to being gay?
I'm a big fan of Robin Oak's definition of bisexuality. I'm going to quote her here. I call myself bisexual because I acknowledge that I have in myself the potential to be attracted romantically and or sexually to people of more than one gender, not necessarily at the same time, not necessarily in the same way, and not necessarily to the same degree. Seems to me that you count and qualify as bisexual, and your bisexuality, your bisexual identity, your lived experience as a bisexual man is, if I may borrow the term from Tumblr, valid. You are heteroromantic and bisexual. You connect sexually and emotionally with women, and that's fine and that's wonderful, and you're in a wonderful long-term relationship with a woman right now that's characterized by a strong sexual connection and a strong emotional connection, and you connect sexually with men, but not emotionally, in the same way, to the same degree, as Robin Oakes would say, with men, not to the same way or to the same degree that you connect with women. And you shouldn't sit around doubting whether you're really bisexual. That is a real and valid form of bisexual male identity. And I think it's a really common form of bisexual male identity. Sometimes I think the majority of male bisexuals are heteroromantic, and that's fine. And you're fine. All that said, you do need to interrogate yourself around internalized homophobia. Some guys can't connect, some guys who are bi can't connect with other guys emotionally as much as they may enjoy other guys sexually and socially and have friendships and romantic friendships and even sexual friendships and friends with benefits, connections that are long term, but they don't connect emotionally to the same degree that they can connect with women. And maybe that's because they're legitimately homoromantic without a trace of internalized homophobia. But it's also true in some cases that internalized homophobia, which is a powerful and damaging force, an internal force, prevents a person from forming a same-sex relationship. They will allow themselves to have the same-sex sex, the gay sex that they want to have, but they draw a line, subconsciously draw a line, and will not allow themselves to have a same-sex relationship, to connect emotionally, not because they're incapable of it, but some part of themselves won't allow themselves to go there because of the implications, the implication being it's kind of gay, and gay is kind of bad still, even for this person who's having a ton of gay sex. And it may have FWB connections with other guys that they've sustained for years. And I think this is a subconscious process in some cases, but not in all, which is why you need to interrogate. You need to really examine and scrutinize yourself and your psyche for any evidence of internalized homophobia. And if you've done that, you've done that work, you've done that self-scrutiny, and you found no evidence of internalized homophobia, okay, well, then maybe you don't suffer from any internalized homophobia and you just are legitimately bi in the way that you're bi, bisexual and heteroromantic. I do think all of us, gay, straight, bi, pan, have a responsibility to really think about who we desire, how we desire people, and whether the limitations, you know, it's just a preference, dude, those kinds of limitations are ours or they were imposed on us, whether we've internalized messaging we received from the culture, from family, from faith traditions, and therefore are limiting ourselves, or if it's just who we are and what we want and it comes from inside ourselves. It's not an imposed limitation. It's not some negative shit that we've internalized about different kinds of people that we might be attracted to sexually and emotionally. You know, and the reason to do that work is because it makes it possible for you to have more and different kinds of people in your life if you can pick that lock and free yourself from imposed limitations, from preferences that you were assigned, not preferences that you genuinely have. It's in your own best interest, not in the best interest of all those other people you know, who you might sleep with, but in your own best interest because it opens your world to other people and different kinds of people and different kinds of relationships. But you can do all that work and still wind up where you're at. You can do all that work and still wind up being, in my case, 100% homosexual, or in your case, 100% heteroromantic and bisexual. And quickly, one of the messages, one of the things that the culture tells us about bi guys is that bi guys are all secretly on their way to being gay guys. And that is not true. And we can see how powerfully that message is hammered home by the fact that you, as a bi guy, think that it might be true or worry that it might be true. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by ThredUp. Whatever you do, wherever you go right now, you probably, well, you don't want to go into a store to try on clothes, but you can still shop for your favorite brands gently used at ThredUp. You can treat yourself to unbelievable prices. ThredUp is easy to use and new stuff arrives every hour, so there's always something new and fresh to find at ThredUp. Plus, if you shop on the app and you do leave the house, you can take ThredUp with you wherever you go. They have an amazing selection, such low prices, and it's so convenient. ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with up to 90% estimated retail. At ThredUp, you can shop from over 45,000 brands for women's or kids' clothing, handbags, shoes, and more, all for a fraction of the price. At ThredUp, you get the insane deals of thrifting. And who doesn't love those insane deals? And who doesn't love and sometimes miss right now thrifting? But at ThredUp, you get the insane deals of thrifting, but with the convenience of online shopping. Score Zara from $6, Madewell and J.Crew from $9, and Nike from $6. Shop online, customize your search by your size, style, and budget so you can find the best deals instantly. ThredUp makes thrifting so easy. Get items in high-quality condition, some even with their original tags still on them, all delivered right to your door. They also have a super easy return policy, so they make thrifting worry-free. Nancy and her family love ThredUp. I love ThredUp. You will love ThredUp, too. For Savage Lovecast listeners who haven't given ThredUp a try yet, ThredUp has an exclusive offer just for you. Get an extra 30% off your first order at ThredUp.com/Savage. That's ThredUp.com/Savage for 30% off your first order. ThredUp.com/Savage for an extra 30% off today. Terms apply.
Hey there, Dan, Nancy, I'm the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. I'm a bi cis guy living currently in the Midwest. I've lived in a couple of other coastal cities before moving here. Fairly active in my kink communities in all the cities. And there's been something that's popped up a couple of times recently that I was kind of wanting your take on. In a few of the kink groups that I'm in, there's been pictures that have been circulating of a couple doing puppy play in public, either, or it's usually a woman, you know, leading a man on a leash, and the man's on all fours in the full puppy gear and everything. And I mean, like the leather puppy gear, not like a fursuit. And in the groups that this has been shared in, it has, without fail, sparked off this massive flame war back and forth between people, half of whom are saying that, you know, you shouldn't do kink in public because you're subject, or because there's a bunch of people who are in public who are, you know, not consenting to see you do that kink. And other people who are saying it's not inherently sexual. Don't inherently sexualize it. You're being close-minded. Don't call yourself kinky if you think that this is wrong to do in public. And I just, you know, was wondering what your take on this is. I personally am of the mind that if you perform a kink in the view of others, you are getting a charge out of that. You are getting enjoyment out of that, whether that enjoyment is sexual or not. And because of that, the people who are viewing you performing that kink should have a say as to whether or not they're involved. If they're coming into a kink space, then yeah, they are, by definition of entering that space, consenting to see what's going on in there. But if they're on public, they're not consenting. And not to be a, well, someone think of the children person, but there's people there that can't give consent.
Joining me by phone to help tackle this question, Lena Dune, sex writer, BDSM meme creator. You can find her on Instagram at Ask a Sub, where she does a lot of really important and informed education around dom sub sex and relationships. Hey, Lena, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dan, thank you so much for having me back.
So this came up in October, toward the end of October. A pro-dom in Los Angeles took her sub to a high-end grocery store on a leash, and he was wearing a puppy mask and I think some wrist restraints, and he was crawling around on his knees behind her, and it just kicked off this firestorm in kink Twitter and kink spaces and kink Instagram. Can you give us your take on the appropriateness or inappropriateness of kink play in public?
Yeah, so with this case, so basically this picture went viral. This pro-dom is walking her seemingly cis male sub on a leash through this high-end grocery store. And spoiler alert, I saw it and I wasn't offended, which the kinky internet has told me is, you know, pretty controversial. So for me, like, it's a really interesting question because it's all about consent in public spaces. And when you really drill down on the idea of consent in public spaces, it's like, what do you even encounter ever in your life in a public space that you consented to? And then for me, it comes down to sort of like, what is the harm being done? After this photo was taken, they took a walk around the grocery store and some eyewitnesses saw her then start to paddle him in public. And I think like that's sort of an interesting line of you know, is it a problem just to see people dressed up in costume, or does the scene begin when the paddling starts? And I think for me, that's where it starts.
The dressing up in costume thing is really what leaps out at me because, you know, everyone is going to go think of the children. You know, what are you going to say to the children? And it's actually, you know, it's a guy in a puppy mask on a leash. It's easy to say to a child, they're in costume. They're playing. Mm-hmm. Like BDSMers call it play. A kid isn't going to really have a problem with that, with wrapping their head around that. It's adults are going to feel uncomfortable having to explain that to him, but or to a child, because of their adult issues, what they bring to it. What really this guy, the caller, is asking is, you know, whether it's okay to do anything inherently sexual in public. And it obviously is, because vanilla people do vanilla shit in public all the time. And it's so common that no one notices. But it's a problem when kinky people do something in public. But where do you draw the line? Like, people can't whip their dicks out in public and start to masturbate. This guy is obviously getting off on this. One of the things he's getting off on is other people seeing this being done to him. And so it's the other people's sort of bank shot tangential involvement in this scene that's arousing him. And aren't they drafting people who just wanted to go to the grocery store into the scene, involving them in the scene in a way that is, you know, violates sort of a low bar idea about consent?
I mean, yeah, the thing is that, like, I wouldn't do it, you know, but then what the kinky internet asks you to do is sort of give like a broad prescription about what everyone's behavior should be. Like, the thing that for me really struck me is, if I thought, like, so this is in this super fancy luxury grocery store, and that to me kind of makes it funny. Whereas if it were happening in a working class grocery store among people who might be less clued into what's going on and they're just trying to go about their day, like, that somehow transgresses in a different way than this thing. But, like, obviously no one should be violating people's consent. You know, I'm not going to say everybody go out and do this, but, like, there is a question of, like, social norms get broadened because people on the fringes choose to live visibly. And, you know, in other cases, people aren't getting a sexual charge out of it the way this guy might be. But it's so tricky.
It is tricky, because where do you draw the line? Like, you know, if he was walking around and she was dressed the way she's dressed in the photo that went viral, it's not hard to find. Just Google woman leash man grocery store. It pops right up. If he was just wearing a collar that indicated that they were in a DS relationship, it might arouse him to wear that collar in public. But if he's standing up and walking around, I think the difference for a lot of people is going to be that's easier to explain to a child, or less alarming for a grandma. But, you know, some degree of, DS relationships being perceptible in public seems to be fine if it's religious conservatives and the wives are being submissive to the husband and walking around with, you know, Duggar hair piled up on top of their heads and 20 kids. That's fine. What you can infer about that relationship is fine, where the wife is submissive to the husband, obviously. And people are comfortable with that. But when it comes to kink or DS, or a man being submissive to a woman in a way that's clearly, you know, through the BDSM filter, people bump on it.
Yeah. I mean, if he had been wearing a dog costume from the Halloween store, for example, you would look at that and you would think, oh, there's some theater kids doing some performance art. But because it's leather, and because we can then infer from the leather that something ambiently sexual might be happening, like, the freak out, I think, it is valid, but slightly disproportionate to what's actually going on. Like, you know, maybe some of the people who saw it thought, hey, that's great, and then went along with their day. Like, we're really, like, honing in on maybe the one person who is having a real triggered reaction. And when you talk about triggers, like, vanilla people, yeah, they kiss in public, but I think a better comparison is that vanilla couples will sometimes fight in public loudly. And that can be actually really triggering to somebody. Like, vanilla kissing is one thing, but, like, people loudly fighting with each other, I would never consent to that. And it would bother me, but we're not having this nuanced conversation about whether people fighting in public is triggering people. Instead, it's like, we hold ourselves in the kink community to this extremely high standard of consent that the rest of the world doesn't really hold itself to. So it sort of feels like tying ourselves in knots to figure out what's okay when, you know, that conversation isn't being had in other spaces.
The phrase you used that really jumped out at me was ambiently sexual. That if something is explicitly sexual, that's not okay, right? But if there's ambient sexuality, maybe that's where it's all right and everybody just needs to suck it up and deal and not judge people. Or hold kinky people to a different standard than you would hold vanilla people to.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, we're talking like there's a spectrum here where on one end you can tell that something sexual might be occurring. And then on the other end, somebody's, you know, it's like flashing you. Obviously, that's very, very wrong. But if you can look at an accessory someone's wearing and infer that that adult person might have sex or might have something to do with sex at that moment, I just don't know, like, how important it is to legislate that on this case by case basis. I don't know. Is this a problematic take, Dan? Is this allowed?
I don't think it's problematic. I think it's nuanced. And when it comes to sex, people are uncomfortable with nuance and ambiguity. And often, you know, there is no one rule that you can apply mm-hmm. broadly and fairly that everybody can hew to, because, you know, we allow people to make out in public if they're vanilla. Kinky people sometimes make out in public and are perceived as vanilla, and, you know, who knows what they're going to get up to at home. And sometimes that making out goes really far and people chuckle and say, get a room, add mm-hmm. a dog collar, mm-hmm. and people freak out.
Yeah. Suddenly it's horrifying.
And what does that tell us about somebody besides something that we should assume about a large percentage of everybody out there, that there's a lot of people out there into DSX, and being aware of that shouldn't be a torment to you. The problem, though, mm-hmm. becomes in, you know, saying that everybody should deal and you don't have a reasonable expectation when you're out in public not to encounter people who may be being, you know, ambiently sexual, that mm-hmm. some people who have no judgment are going to push at those boundaries or abuse that and, you know, insist that what they're doing is ambient when a reasonable person would perceive it as explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to make mm-hmm. case-by-case judgments that are going to feel unfair.
I mean, yeah, but that's like, you can't make broad sweeping determinations about people's sexuality that apply in every case. I think we try so hard, but it just isn't possible because there's just too much nuance, too much human element involved.
Yeah. And maybe we could freak out a little less about grown men on leashes in grocery stores and a little bit more on kids in cages at the border separated from their parents. Maybe we need perspective.
I mean, frankly, as long as people are walking around with MAGA hats where I can see them, that's the consent issue that I'm going to be worried about. This one is fine.
Lena Dune, sex writer, BDSM meme creator. Check out her Instagram, Ask a Sub. Lena, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Oh, thanks, Dan. This is so great.
Many of us are changing the way we do work or business. If building a new website is part of that change for you, I recommend Squarespace. They make it easy to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store without having massive web design or coding skills. It's intuitive, simple to use, and the most efficient way to get a website up quickly. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. They have great-looking templates that you just drop in, and it looks good right away. You can collaborate with other members of your group, do an email blast, put up galleries, obsessively pore over analytics, set up e-commerce, watch the money come rolling in, pretty much anything you need for a website. Squarespace is way ahead of you, and they've thoughtfully included it. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage, and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 41-year-old single straight male. I just wanted to share a story from long ago, kind of get it off my chest, and then I'll get to my question. So when I was in my early 20s, I became interested in a local female newscaster, so much so that I actually went down to where she worked and asked her out. Now, maybe it's just me, but, you know, I happen to feel that just because someone's on TV doesn't make them better than everyone else, or better than me. I just generally liked her and wanted to ask her out. She did say no, but she was very nice about it. Even though, of course, I didn't get the answer I wanted, but I'm sure, as you can understand, it could have gone south very quickly. But, you know, afterwards, I even asked a friend of mine, I told a friend of mine what I did, and he said, man, you've got balls. But, so my question is, did I cross some sort of line? I mean, like I said, she was very nice about it, but it's, just to be clear, I didn't ask her out just because she's on TV. I wasn't trying to make a name for myself like, oh, yeah, check it out. I'm dating a local celebrity, or I do not have some sort of celebrity fetish or anything like that. Like I said, I liked her. I found her attractive. I just wanted to get her to know her better. But I just want to know, did I do something wrong?
I guarantee you that the woman whose workplace you turned up at to hit on her, I guarantee you when she walked to the car, to her car that night in the parking lot, she had her keys sticking out between her fingers by her knuckles, so that if you or some other man, because I promise you other men have probably done the exact same thing to her, turned up at her workplace to hit on her after seeing her on TV, I guarantee you she walked to her car with her keys sticking out between her fingers in case she was attacked by you that night. Because although you knew you weren't a crazy person, you knew that you had the purest of motives. You weren't a star fucker. You weren't interested in her as a celebrity. It's just the fact that she was on TV brought her to your attention and you were attracted to her. And so you felt you had a right then to turn up at her workplace and hit on her. She couldn't know that you were one of the good guys that would do a thing like that, as opposed to almost all guys who do a thing like that, who are usually not good guys. Maybe most of them aren't going to attack her, but all of them, by dint of turning up at her workplace and hitting on her, have identified themselves as guys with no moral imagination, no empathy, no common sense. You couldn't project yourself into her experience as an attractive woman, an attractive public figure. You couldn't project yourself into her experience and know and realize and be able to work out for yourself that she probably gets a lot of attention like this, a lot of unasked for, unwelcome sexual attention from men who think they have a right to her time, to her attention, to show up at her workplace and ask her out on a date because they saw her on television and they thought she was hot. You have balls. You have no sense. What you did was not okay. You did cross a line. Just imagine how she felt. She may have been, you say, she was very nice about it, but a lot of women play that game with men who scare them. They are nice to them, nice to their faces in an effort to de-escalate the situation, because when she told you no, she may have been concerned at that moment that you would have reacted negatively or violently, as some men do, to hearing no from a woman that they think they have a right to hit on or ask out or date because they find them attractive. She may have feared a violent reaction. And to prevent that, to make a violent reaction perhaps less likely, she was gracious. Gracious in the face of your selfishness, of your senselessness, of your inconsideration. So, yeah. You definitely crossed a line. The purity of your motives in your head, don't erase that line. That she reacted in as nice a way as she possibly could in that moment, doesn't erase that line. That line is there, and you crossed it. Please don't do anything like that again. Before we get to your comments, let's read your tweets. Danny Lime tweets, listening to my voice on a Savage Lovecast from 3 years ago. I'm still scared, but your listeners helped me, Dan. Ha ha. The pandemic. Oh my God. Love you at Fake Dan Savage. Love you too, Danny Lime. Hope whatever it was, it's better now. Bees Wings tweets, today's episode of the Savage Lovecast had a poly question that so reminded me of the last 10 years of my marriage that is currently ending in divorce. Sorry about that, Bees Wings. This is a particularly rough time to be going through a divorce. And wherever you are in the process, wherever you are on the planet, I hope you have lots of love and support and pot. Finally, Don Massino tweets, my first thoughts when I heard Biden won was hallelujah. My second was, I can't wait to hear at Fake Dan Savage on Tuesday so we can all celebrate together. I heard the opening music and it was everything I'd hoped for. We did it. Our long national nightmare is almost over. We did it. Yes, I agree, but it is not done. There are two runoff elections in Georgia that will determine who controls the Senate. If you care about fighting climate change, adding a public option to Obamacare, statehood for D.C. and Puerto Rico, and the likely four additional Democratic senators that would put in the U.S. Senate, all that hinges on control of the Senate. In January, Dems John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock are right now campaigning to unseat two almost cartoonishly, ridiculously corrupt GOP incumbents. Act Blue makes it easy to donate to both campaigns. Go to actblue.com/donate/GA Senate Runoff. and your donation will be split between them. Or better yet, make a donation to Stacey Abrams' organization, Fair Fight. Fair Fight registered 800,000 new voters in Georgia and turned that state blue, at least where the president is concerned. Fair Fight is working to finish the job and turn both of those U.S. Senate seats blue on January 5th. Go to fairfight.org and click on donate. All right, if you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to use the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now your response calls.
Hey, this is in response to the caller who asked whether a guy can stop and start his pee stream on demand. As a gay guy who's into piss play, here's my tried and true technique. Start peeing slowly and your flow will be easier to control. Try to stop the flow as soon as the first few drops submerge. Then let a few more drops out, and then a few more. Then you can start to increase the amount and intensity of the stream with each burst. Also, if you want to pee a lot, try nettle leaf tea. It's a natural diuretic that doesn't taste too unpleasant on the other end.
Hello, this is a response to the bisexual guy that's talking about talking to his family. I'm in Oklahoma. I work in machine shops, and it's very important to come out to everybody around you because you'll never know what family member they have that's going through something that you can help come out to them. Now, there's always a negative aspect. I mean, I never thought of the word faggot as something that I'd be called, but I've been called it many times. But you need to focus on who you can help by coming out.
Hi, Dan. I just heard the latest episode with the gentleman who feels that his wife is getting too fat for him to be sexually attracted to her. I know that one should be relaxed about these things and that people write in for advice and so forth, but I have to say that that really made me quite annoyed. My wife of 20-something years has been through breast cancer. It has left her body permanently altered and, as some people would say, disfigured. It has left her with other conditions as well that were difficult. I still love her. We still have an active, enjoyable sex life. Why? Because when I said, I love you for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for sickness and in health, I meant it. Your caller, when he said, I still love my wife, well, I really hope his wife was listening to that call and is able to recognize her husband's voice and decides to dump the motherfucker already.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question you want answered or a comment about this week's show you got to share? There are two ways to get them to us. You can call us at 206-302-2064, 206-302-2064, or you can use the Voice Memo app on your phone to record your question or your comment and email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Hopefully you've already purchased your tickets for the upcoming Savage Love live stream. That's on December 12th. I'll be answering as many of your questions as I can get to live from my living room. Email your questions ahead of time to livestream@savagelovecast.com or just ask me your question when you join us. Grab your tickets now at savagelovecast.com/events. And there are two more chances to check out the second volume of Hump's greatest hits. Head over to humpfilmfest.com and get your ticket to watch a collection of some of our favorite dirty movies from the last 15 years. And great news for Hump filmmakers who are working hard out there. We understand you're under a lot of pressure, so we've extended the deadline for submissions to January 8th. Now you have more time to make your dirty movies and get a chance at Hump fame, Hump glory, and big Hump cash prizes. Head over to humpfilmfest.com/submit to find out more. Follow Lena Dune on Twitter and on Instagram at AskASub. Follow Dr. Daniel Weistreich on Twitter at EpidByDesign. And follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Artunian. And me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Please keep masking up, and thank you for downloading.